In his quite remarkable new novel, Todd Woodaka, author of All Shall Be Well and All Shall Be Well and All Manner of Things Shall Be Well, has created a story of a most curious friendship. The new book, The Household Spirit, is poignant, it's big-hearted, it's often very, very funny, about two unique individuals unceremoniously thrown together. It's a story about how little we know the people that we see every day and of the unexpected capabilities of the human heart. Todd Woodaka was born in Glens Falls, New York. He now lives in Berlin. It is a great pleasure to welcome him back to the roundtable. Todd, thanks so much for being with us again. Nice to have you here.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Joe.
Very nice to have you back on the program. Your previous novel, All Shall Be Well and All Shall Be Well and All Manner of Things Shall Be Well, was one of my favorites, and you were nice enough to come in when that book came out. So I was greatly looking forward to this book. For people who live in this region, that book took place outside of Saratoga Springs, New York, as does this book. What draws you to that area? And I will let the listener in on, and I ask that question because you live in Berlin.
Right, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Queensbury. I was born in Glens Falls. And I think quite recently I realized that I've been living in Europe for the last 20 years. I live in Berlin now. I lived in Prague and England before that. And I've realized quite recently that almost none of my dreams actually take place where I live now in Europe. They all still take place where I grew up, where I was born, and where I still go back to every year. And it's kind of this formative, strange place. And the novel, The Household Spirit, is really a novel about kind of nightmares and dreams in a lot of different ways. And what I wanted to do was kind of recreate this dream version of upstate New York, where I'm from. So some things actually exist and some things don't. And it's almost like I've drawn my own map of the region with this book. And I think readers from the region will certainly recognize everything from, you know, Davidson Brothers Brewery in Glens Falls, New York, and Tongue Mountain and other places in Lake George, which I've changed the name to the original French name spelling of it, to, you know, places that just don't quite make sense. For instance, the town that the novel takes place in is called Queens Falls, which on one hand is a combination of Queensbury and Glens Falls. But also it's on Route 29, which is in Rock City Falls, which is right outside of Saratoga Springs.
Which is where the mansion was that you
exactly.
You wrote about in the last novel. So what is it that draws you to this? The place and those homes that can even inhabit those spirits.
Exactly. I don't know, and I think if I knew, I probably wouldn't be writing these books. I mean, it's in a strange way when you go to write a novel, which takes years and years, and in this case, way too many years, my second novel, it is about inhabiting a place or thinking about a place in a different way and exploring it. And, you know, frankly, I'm really not that interested in Berlin, where I live. It's a wonderful place to live, but it's not where I dream about. It's not what I really, where my mind focuses on or I think about, especially creatively. And, you know, the idea of home is what The Household Spirit is also about. And, you know, no matter how far away I am from upstate New York, that's kind of where I'm tethered to in a strange, inexplicable way. Don't know if that answers the question very well, but...
Well, it does. And I guess, so taking that one step further, so then at what point did you start seeing these characters of Howie Jeffries and Emily Fain as being neighbors and looking into that relationship?
I mean, I'd written a book called The Household Spirit, which I had finished about 3 years ago. This was my first second novel, and it was all about Emily Fain, and Emily didn't have a neighbor named Howie, and this novel was not very good. In fact, it was the opposite of good, very bad, I think.
Yeah.
And ended up throwing the entire second novel away and starting from scratch, using the same character of Emily Fain and the area and the region. And this time, Howie kind of stepped in. And suddenly, the book kind of opened up. It became about the characters. I guess in the same way that some people like leading men or that kind of actor. I think I've always been attracted to character actors.
Yes.
Those smaller actors that are kind of distinct in strange little ways. And I think I'm starting to really realize what I do is I write character books. They're not necessarily plot-driven. They're strange and kind of wayward, and they're about characters. And the book plot basically follows the characters rather than the characters following some kind of plot. I had to follow that to the end and see where that went.
So let's talk about Howie Jeffries a little bit. You describe him, which I think is amusing, an accidental recluse.
Yeah, I don't think he meant to be a recluse. I don't think anyone does. I wonder, maybe some people do, but I think he meant to be a family man. I think he meant to be all these different things, but his nature, which is hard for him to understand, it made him become something completely different, and his family left him. And left him alone, in a sense, on this this road where he it was his fault. He took them there in the first place. This Route 29, and suddenly, yeah, he's an accidental recluse. He finds himself all alone out in the middle of nowhere with one neighbor who he doesn't talk to.
And let's talk about the other neighbor, and then I want to pursue that line of questioning of why they haven't talked to each other. But so that's Emily. She is somewhat the polar opposite. She is very outgoing. She's a reverend. She is can be very charming. And but then things change in her life, and that's when Howie starts to ask questions as to this person he's lived next to.
In her own way, Emily is just as messed up as Howie. whereas Howie has problems during his waking life. You know, he's incredibly shy. He's incredibly strange. He doesn't really know how to interact. Emily has problems during her sleeping life. She suffers from an extreme case of what scientists call sleep paralysis, something which I also had suffered from, and night terrors. And these sleep paralysis and night terrors sort of end up bleeding into her normal life and make it very hard for her to take her normal life seriously, because every time she goes to sleep, she feels like she's being attacked by demons. She's something she suffered through all of her life, and it isn't until her grandfather, who she grew up with, dies and leaves her alone that she really starts to lose it. And at that's the point where we find Howie finding her outside in the middle of the night gardening, basically.
Yeah, and that idea that really what is going on here is because of this nighttime affliction, that the very reality of her life, of her waking life, she questions. She doesn't quite know what to make of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the listeners probably know what sleep paralysis is. Do you know exactly? I mean,
I don't know exactly. I have heard. Yes, I would like you to explain it.
Basically, it's something I suffered from, and I started suffering from it in my teens, and continued on for into my 30s, and for the about 10 years of suffering from it, I had no idea that anyone else on Earth could possibly have suffered from it, because the experience was most nights I would go to sleep, and either in the morning or shortly after going to sleep, I would wake up. And I would wake up, and I would be just as awake as you and I are right now, except I couldn't move my body. I was completely paralyzed and lying there. And when that happened, I would also start to hear, hellish voices or sounds or kind of like stock horror movie type stuff. On top of that, I would hear footsteps crossing the room towards me, or feel the bed indent next to me, and feel presence of some kind of like demon or evil thing, or someone sitting on my chest. And I know this sounds totally insane. And for the longest time, I thought it really was insane, that maybe I was suffering from some kind of illness that was just beginning. I mean, it really scared me. And it did make me question, when you have something so extreme happening to you at night, you wonder, well, what is reality, basically? And that's where we find Emily. And then I think my late 20s, I discovered that this thing that I had, other people suffered from as well. I couldn't believe it. It was called sleep paralysis. And then the more research you do, you find out that it's spread across all cultures of the world. They have different names for it, different explanations for it. I think even the word nightmare was originally a word that was supposed to mean a sleep paralysis experience, being ridden by the nightmare, not exactly the experience that we just call it now, like a bad dream. So this is something that Emily suffers from in a more extreme way even than I do. And it's something that I always wanted to write about because it is horrific and it is strange. It's very, very strange.
When it comes to bringing these two together, when it comes to bringing these two characters together, it is ultimately a tragedy that has their paths crossed, which we don't want to give too much away. But it is so once they're together, as you say, very character driven, and while they're certainly very heavy and terrible moments in this, as what I so enjoyed of your last novel is they're so quirky that it's just wonderfully funny.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, I really wanted to write a book that mixes this kind of humor with some really scary stuff and some really kind of dark stuff. But absolutely, I mean, when they get together, finally, I wanted to create this world that was both weird and inviting and just very strange, but in a kind of light, funny way. That is the goal.
And you like quirky.
I don't think I like quirky, or I don't like the word quirky, but people tend to use it a lot.
Okay, how would you describe it?
I guess weird is more the word that I like the most. But any of this, it's always good when someone's talking about your book. They can say whatever they want.
Well, because
the alternative is, but if I always tell my close friends not to use the word quirky. It's just one of those words.
So to me, these characters, if they were living next to me and I was nice and being respectful, I would say, they're eccentric.
They're eccentric, yeah. They're eccentrics. I think eccentric is a great way of describing it. They're weirdos. I mean, I think, frankly, I'm quite eccentric. I'm kind of a weirdo myself. So sometimes I forget how weird my characters are when they suddenly interact with the wider world and people are reading about them and talking about them, and they're like, well, these guys are really quirky or eccentric or weird. I'm thinking they seem pretty normal to me. I don't set out to write characters who are somehow strange or weird. That's honestly not what I'm doing. I'm actually writing characters that I know the best.
Mm.
These are my people. And, like the first novel, we had him, he was a 64-year-old medieval reenactor. But in a way, I guess, even at 30, I was sort of a 64-year-old medieval reenactor. Even though I've never been a medieval reenactor.
You could feel what it was like.
I get these guys.
Yes.
These are my people. So really, I don't see them as that strange, but I know that they are. I'm not quirky enough to not realize how strange these people are. But at the same time, yeah.
Well, as I mentioned, you're going to, you're in Berlin. Will you be getting home at all to...
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'll be coming home. My son, we manage about once a year now. We were also back last year.
And is that grist for the mill where you can sort of look and think about things that could make their way into another novel?
It's you never know what's going to make their way into another novel. Yeah, exactly. But it's not something I'm specifically hunting for this time around. This is more to see friends and family and just be home for a little while.
Absolutely.
But you never know. If I end up hitting Route 29 again, it could be a trilogy. The Route 29 trilogy. I don't know where I would go next with it, though. I have some farm full of clowns or something.
Farm full of eccentric clowns.
Yeah.
There you go.
Flying squirrels and stuff,
The name of the book is The Household Spirit. It is endlessly delightful, as was the first novel. And if you haven't read that, you really should. Todd Whitaker, I thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Well, great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Very nice. Thank you. Okay. Again, the title of the book is The Household Spirit, a novel. It is published by Pantheon. Todd Whitaker is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.